God bless. You may remain standing for the rest of the night.
It's tremendous to see everybody. I was sharing with Dean before the fellowship that one of my favorite times of these weekends that we do is the beginning, when people come. And something that I always try to do is I usually try to come about an hour and a half early, because I don't want to miss anything. And so I'll do that, and then I'll pray for everybody that's coming. And then as people walk in, continue to pray and to speak in tongues and to observe how they are. Are they a little nervous? Are they excited? Do they feel well? Are they doing okay? And then to be able to log that in my brain and to be able to continue to pray and watch as the weekend or the time rolls along, how there's a difference between 8:18 and that's the time. And the end of the weekend on Sunday. It's a real blessing to be able to open this weekend in the Word. I'm very blessed that some of you have never been here before and for a weekend like this. I welcome you. Thank God for you that you came, and I trust that you'll like the believers there. The believers in New Jersey are very loud, but they don't mean anything by it. They're just, it's just the way. You know, I don't know why I say the believers in New Jersey. I'm originally from California, but I've been here 30 years, so really, we are a little loud. Okay. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, please, in verse 15 and 16. It says in the Word that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. You know, and I don't know how long ago this was written, but it was written, you know, more than like 10 years ago originally. And I would imagine that not much has changed. The world is still a crooked and perverse nation. But then it says, among whom ye shine as lights in this world. Everywhere you go, God goes. Everywhere you go, Christ in you goes. Everywhere. Everywhere. You can't ever separate that. So, wherever you go, you're a light. I don't know who I was with. I don't know. I was somewhere. And somebody said about attention and people know who was that? Who was I with? Caitlin. What did you say?
I said that you have a noticeable presence when you walk in somewhere.
Yeah, and why not? We have lights, and we shouldn't hide it under a bush or a barrel or whatever Jesus said. You know, I know who I am. What he said, don't hide your light under a what I say? Barrel, bushel. You know, you might have a bushel in your barrel. The point is, wherever you go, God goes. And wherever I go, God goes. And it's nice to hook up in remembrance of that. Wherever you are, that's where God is at that moment. He's with you. And we're to shine as lights in this world, holding forth the word of life. And that's what I want to share a little bit on tonight, holding forth God's word. If you want to go to Philippians, what we're into, it says in Philippians 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I don't understand that, but I believe it. God's word exhorts the believer to let the mind of Christ be in us. So it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's quite an exhortation. And during his ministry upon earth, Jesus Christ set the standard for us by his life, by his example. Everywhere Jesus went, he did the will of God. That's amazing. Everywhere he went, he did the will of God. And our example as head of the body is Jesus Christ. And so when I read the Gospels, I read it mainly to find out about our Lord Jesus Christ, how he did things, what he said, what did he do in certain circumstances and situations. And the reason I desire to do that is so that I can become more like that in my own life if I decide to. And, you know, that's a good thing to decide in our life, to be more like Jesus Christ, because here it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So in order to see how he lived, in order to see how he acted, it's imperative that we take a look at times at the Gospels. And so I'd like us to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, the Gospel of John. And while you're turning there, I'd like you to think about why you're here. Motive has so much to do with the way we end up being. What is it that you want from this weekend? It's all here for you. Whatever it is you want, it's here for you. As long as you want something that's good, it's here for you. God's word is here. God's people is here. Are here. God's love is here. The mystery lives here. So this weekend should be a weekend of explosion of thoughts that go to God. It should be a weekend that is a weekend of vision for your own life. This should not be a common day, a common night. This should be the greatest night of our lives because it's the only night we have right now. And we're all here together hearing God's word. It's pretty cool if you think about it. Where else are we? We're here. Jesus said in verse 12, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe in Jesus? Ha! So, monkey with that right now, quick. Think about that. The works that I do, he shall do also. Shall he do also? He that believeth on me, the works I, what did he do, man? We're going to look at some of that. The works that he did, we shall do also. And you just got to scratch the next line out of the whole Bible. You just got to rip it out, even though it's in there. It's just too much to take. Greater works than these shall he do? Because I go unto my Father? Greater works than these? Man, I have to hold my brain just to think, the works that he did shall we do. And greater works than these shall he do? Because he goes to his Father. Okay. We'll let that sit for just now. Because it's a lot to take in, really. John 1. In Espanol, Juan Uno. Not really. So, we're going to look at some of the records in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, Jesus Christ is emphasized as the Son of God. And guess what we are? It says, beloved, now we are the what? Yeah, so we're the sons of God. So it ought to really attract our attention because the emphasis in this particular gospel is Jesus as the Son of God. In verse 35, is it? Yeah, we'll start there. It says, again, the next day after John stood and his two disciples, and this is referring to John the Baptist, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. John the Baptist's whole ministry was to get people ready for the coming Savior. And here he was, John the Baptist, with two of his disciples. And he said, whoa, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples followed Jesus. Man, that'd be awesome if that was your only goal, to get somebody ready for something, and then it happened. Then he could just go smoke cigars and sit on a porch. Or something. So, they followed Jesus. Now, what I want us to notice in these records is how Jesus was. Because it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Right. So, Jesus turned and saw these two disciples following, verse 38, and he saith unto them, what seek ye? What are you looking at? What are you looking at? What are you looking at? What a marvelous thing to say. What seek you? What are you looking for? Huh? Huh? I added the huh. What seek ye? I'm not English, so I don't know what that means really in Old English, but it seems to me like Jesus Christ said, what seek ye? They said unto him, Master, or Rabbi, which is interpreted Master, where do you live? Huh? These two guys, the disciples of John, getting ready to see the Master. Jesus Christ's recorded words anyway was, what seek ye? Or Jesus said, what seek ye? They said, where do you live? And Jesus comes up with this magnificent revelation. Come and see. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It wasn't so hard. These guys were looking at him. And he said, what you looking at? And he said, where do you live? He said, well, come on over. Come and see. So they came, and they saw where he lived, dwelt, and abode with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. They spent a day with Jesus. Doesn't say what he taught. Doesn't say if he gave them popcorn, pizza maybe. They have a great pizza joint, or they used to, in Highland Park called Jerusalem Pizza. Who ever heard of such a thing? It's a bagel with ketchup on it. Sorry, Chris. It's okay. So they spent the day, and one of the two, which heard John speak, one of the two disciples, he followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, something. So, what does brother Andrew do? He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith, we found the Messiah, which is being interpreted. This had been revealed since Genesis 3:15. A lot of time had gone by. He just had lunch with the Master. So where'd he go? Well, where would we go? Where did you go? When you got in God's word, where did you go? Where did you go and spill the beans? You know, once you had it, you saw fellowship and you went, whew, man. Now, I know many of you were raised in the word. Sometimes I wished you weren't, including my own kids. Well, especially my own. No, just kidding. And so, you know, man, I remember where I went. I went to all my friends and my parents. I would tell my parents, blah, 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 blah. And half the stuff I said was right. Half of it was insane. Because I wasn't rooted and grounded in the word. You know, there were four crucified with Jesus Christ. And they went, really? How do you know that? Well, there were like two more than two. They'd be looking at it. Okay. Hey, Mom, Listen to this. What? What? The boy's gone mad. He's mad. I wish you were back smoking pot. You made a lot more sense then. But was I excited? Yes, I was excited. I was so excited because I heard God's word. I knew I was home. I knew I was where I needed to be. I knew I was hearing what I needed to hear. I was becoming who I wanted to become. I knew the whole future was bright because God was in it. Boom! Andrew busts through the doors. We found the Messiah! Whoa! That must have... Okay. That must have been quite a day. And what'd he do? He took him to Jesus' house. You know why? Because earlier he said, where do you live? And Jesus said, come and see. So he knew where he lived. He didn't even need to Google it. So, just like you might, you bring your brother to fellowship. He goes, I don't want to go. You're coming. Just come. Just once. You'll see. You'll see. Man, I tortured my friends with God. You know, figure speech, meaning I was convinced that everybody had to have a piece of this. And so he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus beheld and said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. I hope you're not in a hurry tonight, because we are getting in God's word. Ain't messing. Maybe a little bit. So I'm sure there was other things said besides this, but the next day, Jesus went forth into Galilee and findeth Philip. And he saith unto him, follow me. I'm sure he said more than that, but it does say, follow me. And Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Philip. I mean, and Peter. These guys weren't stupid. Jesus wasn't stupid. He spoke the word where the word of God was being heard. Think. He went the next day to some place where he knew somebody had already heard God's word and was excited about God's word. It's really stupid to go share the word of God to some place where nobody wants God's word. You know, somebody could even get in God's word in Spotswood or Hal Meta. Where's that? Matthew Bunk. Bunk and... There they are, the Helmetta boys back in there. Yeah, that's right. Everybody makes fun of Helmetta, but I'll tell you what, there's two of those guys right there from Helmetta. Tell me. So, you might want to speak the word in Helmetta. You know, Eastern Avenue has been kissed 17,842 times. But that one store in Helmetta, we could jump that stuff tomorrow and go door-to-door witness and get the whole word over how I met in one day. That's how we do. Verse 45. So Philip, he findeth Nathanael and saith unto him. And I love this. This isn't accurate what he says. It's pretty funny, though. We have found him. Oh, wait, I got it. We have found him of who he goes home to. He's so excited. We have found him in whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Was he the son of Joseph? No. You tell me how much you know about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll tell you how far you'll go spiritually. Heard that before once. And Nathanael said unto them, can any good thing come out of Helmetta? That is the lousiest town, man. Bunch of backwoods people, products of incest down there now. No, Nazareth. Helmetta? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Now think about this in practical terms. You're somewhere. You tell somebody there's a fellowship, well, Milltown, yeah, that's much better than Helmetta. We're upscale. You know, somebody would say, yeah, right, Milltown, that little crappy town. And you might say, well, why don't you come? Why don't you come and take a look? Come and see. Man, This is God's word. See, it doesn't get you like it ought to. It ought to smack us. This is how to move the word. How do we move the word? I'd really love to learn. Let's read here. Hey. I remember when there was no believers in Jersey City. You know where the believers were back then? Up there? Bayonne. What was that laugh about? What was that? Bayonne moved the word, and there would have been no Jersey City if it wasn't for Bayonne. And, you know, we used to have 4 fellowships in Elizabeth. We had 12 fellowships at one time in Newark. So, you know, we have fellowships down near Camden. We have people from Camden going to fellowship. We have the worst cities in the country. We need to get some Patterson fellowships. We used to have one there, Willie Cruz, Jimmy Hansen, and Camacho. And you? Oh, that's right, you. And then who was the dude that that lived in Colombia? Stacy. Not, was he in Colombia?
Peru.
One of those, Peru. We had quite a work going in there at one time. So can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Sure there can. Come on and see. And he saw Nathanael coming to him, and he saith unto him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, of whom there is no guile. And Nathanael saith unto him, How'd you know me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Pretty cool. That's just something. I, you know, this just amazes me all the time. When I read this a lot. I read these records a lot. And I do it for the sole purpose of understanding, again, how our Lord and Savior, quote unquote, moved the word, how he witnessed, how he spoke the word. What did he do? What was so special about this? You know, he paid attention. He invited people to his house. And he went to the same place where there seemed to be an interest. That's what he did. You want to figure out Jesus? There you go. Just got taught to you. He used his noggin. Jesus had a brain. I'm writing a book on that now. Jesus answered, verse 50. Oh, wait. Nathanael answered and said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said to you, I saw you under a fig tree, you believe? Do you realize how funny that is? This guy's all excited. He saw me under a fig tree. He saw me under a fig tree. He must be the Son of God. Well, somebody at the barbershop in Helmeta saw him too, sitting under a fig tree. Jesus said, because I love Jesus Christ. He's so funny. That's funny. Because I said, I saw you under a fig tree, you believe? You're going to see greater things than this, buddy. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. I imagine that old Nathanael's face went, ugh. Yeah. Well, that's a pretty good record, isn't it? Let's go to another good one. And while we're going there, let's remember that Jesus Christ said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the works that I do, ye shall do also, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. Andrew went to his brother, and he brought him to Jesus' house, and it just worked like this. It also says in 1 John 4, ye are of God, little children, and of what? Because greater is what?
He that is in you.
Than he that is in the world. So everywhere we go, we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. And I don't care what the adversary throws your way. Greater is he, greater is he, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's our stubbornness and our pride that prohibits and prevents us from seeing all the great things that God has made available for us to see. John 3. Witnessing with Jesus. Verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. So we know who Nicodemus was right in that first verse. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a Pharisee. He was responsible for keeping the law. He knew the word of God. He was somebody who knew the word of God. This same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. This was a sensible man. Sometimes I ask myself the question, why did he come by night? I don't really know the answer to that. But it seems to me he was hiding. Seems to me he didn't want people to really know. But he asked a direct question. It wasn't a question. He made a statement. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. You know, really, signs, miracles, and wonders ought to follow us wherever we go. We ought to be seeing tremendous things that God's word has made available to us. Why not? God hasn't changed. His word hasn't changed. His power certainly hasn't changed. This man was smart. He said, you got to be of God. Nobody could do these great things unless you were of God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter in the second time into his mother's womb and be born? I know that seems like a silly thing. And I just wonder how silly it really was. Here is a man who was presented with something that Jesus Christ said, someone that he respected and knew he was a teacher that came from God and knew that he had manifested the power of God. And Jesus Christ said to him, unless a man be born from above. And he said what he said. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus Christ did not castigate. I forgot what that word is. Castigate? What? Castigate. He didn't get on his case, let's put it that way. He answered and said, Verily, verily, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's one of the most tremendous lessons a believer could ever learn, because that will help keep believers unified. Yeah. You see this stupid thing here? It looks like a human, acts like a human, talks like a human, all this human stuff. This human stuff's going to make mistakes like crazy. And it's very imperative for us to be able to... Jesus Christ was a master at separating the sin from the sinner. If the person had a devil spirit, he was a master at separating the spirit from the person. And he loved the people. That which is born of flesh is flesh. There's nothing we can do about this flesh pot. So stop trying so hard. There's everything I can do. I can change my brain from thinking of things of this world to thinking about God. And I'm responsible for that. No one can make me believe. No one can make me think. No one can tell me what to think. They can tell me what to think. But ultimately, it is our choice what we think, what we put in our brains. And if we want to travel fast and far with God, it's very important for us to put God's word in our brains. Whenever there's a release from that over a period of time, there is a tremendously weird thing that goes on in our lives if you're used to God's word and God's light. The holidays are a classic example of this. Many of us are used to being in the word of God a lot every day, praying every day, hanging every day, counseling, whatever, teaching. And then there's a period of time that like a week or 10 days go by, you're shopping, you're going nuts, you're falling into everything that the world does, and you have Christmas, and yeah, really great. And then after it's over, you feel like you're hungover. It's a weird deal, and most of the time, for believers, that feeling is a feeling of loneliness. You've been away from what you really, really, really love, and that's God and His Word. And boy, you get back in the Word, you get blessed, and you get refreshed. And That is the reason that so many, many years we've done this light bearers around this time. That's the main reason. Well, main reason was God said do it, and then the understanding was this is why. To get our heads out of that, bring everybody into the Word, also with the idea of kids that were in high school and kids that were in college. They just got, especially these guys in college, I can't believe what they're doing. You know, there should be a revolt. First of all, you should quit school. All right. That's number one. No, there should be a revolt. I mean, they go too long. Friday, you got Christmas Sunday, taking microbiology. I don't even know what you kids think about. It's ridiculous. Your head's fried. And then, you know, you should be like me. I don't think about anything, so I got no worries. It is easy for me to say. I'm kind of... Hey, look. What's born of flesh is flesh. What's born of spirit is spirit. Yeah, that's something. Marvel not, verse 7, that I said unto thee, ye must be born again, born from above. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus and answered Jesus and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and you don't know these things? Say, Jesus Christ there lovingly confronted Nicodemus. He said, you know the word. Why don't you know this stuff? You're supposedly somebody who knows God's word. Why don't you know this? Then he said, truly, truly, I say unto thee, we speak that which we know and testify that which we've seen and receive not our witness, and ye receive not our witness. In other words, we speak what we know. That's what we speak. We speak what we know, which is God's word. And we testify that we've seen. You know what? They talked about the things that they saw, which is one of the greatest ways to move God's word. Talk about the miracles that you've seen. Talk about the miracles that God has performed. Talk about them. Talk about them. That's what he said right here. Look at the book. If I told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus Christ is referring to the Old Testament, talking about Moses. You don't have to have personal experience all the time. It's good to have it. And it's good to refer to experiences that you know about people who have seen the greatness of God. But you could say, you know, I don't know about this line about Moses and the serpent. You might get stabbed or something. I don't know. But as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And look at the context of this great witness. Every football game used to have these guys all around. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? For God sent not the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What a witness. Here was a man hungry. Here was a man who came to Jesus Christ correct. He said, nobody could do the things that you did unless you were of God. And then Jesus Christ proceeded to talk to him about being born from above. Then this guy asked about, I can't go back to my mom's womb, you know, or whatever. And Jesus Christ laid some things out for him in just a beautiful way. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Look at John 4. Yeah. There's over 100 records in the Gospels where Jesus Christ spends time with one person. Now that should speak loudly as to what a leader should be. Is a leader someone that sits at home by himself all day and reads manuscripts? Or is he there with the people? What was Jesus doing? Was he studying? I'm sure he did. Was he with people? Did he serve people? Did he give to people? Did he help people? Did he bring people over to his house? Or was he a stranger? Yeah, well, I didn't write it. And I didn't die for you. But we're going to look at a record where Jesus is tired. You ever been tired? Not tonight. We have Red Bull. Everybody, look under your seat. Red Bull. Beep. No, just kidding. Jacob's well was there, verse 6. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. It was about the sixth hour. He sat down because he was tired. He didn't sit down by revelation. This isn't a technique to speak the word. He sat down because he's tired. The reason he was tired, because they'd been traveling. The reason he'd been traveling is because he was seeing people. But he's tired, so he decides to sit down in a convenient location. A well. Tremendous technique. This is God's word. It's in here for a reason. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said, give me a drink. And there's only two things really that men could ask women. One was directions and one was for water. So sitting on a well really wasn't a bad idea. But that's not why he sat there. He sat there because he was wearied. And a woman came, and you're allowed to ask a woman for a drink. Today, if you said these words to a girl at college, how many of you go to college? Go ahead, be proud. Be proud. Raise them up. You guys are all stupid. No, I'm just kidding. Raise them up. You all go to college. Next time you're near any place that has water, just say to a girl, give me a drink. Ha ha. Oh, I'd like to be there. Why don't you guys do that? Just for the, oh well. That'd be funny. You might even get punched in this group. Say that to Ashley Fury. Give me a drink. Get your own damn drink. What's the matter with you and me to give me a drink? What, your hands broke? Give me a drink. You might even get smacked at a bar. Sorry. Give me a drink. I don't know. Give me a drink. I don't know. Anyway. There's a woman. He says, give me the drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Now, why do you think they went to buy meat? They were hungry. They were hungry. Why were they hungry? They were traveling. They went to McDonald's. Krispy Kreme. Look. Boy, it's in the word, isn't it? Just the stuff you see. They went to get something to eat. Meat. Specifically meat. Meat. Not chicken. Not fish. That's meat. Red. I don't know. I got to check with my research team on what kind of meat it was. I don't know. Then saith the woman of Samaria, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? Because the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And she was absolutely right. And I guess Jesus didn't read the book. I guess Jesus didn't know what the hell he was doing. I've broken every rule possible just because I hate rules. The only thing I have to do my whole life is go to heaven. That's it. I don't have to do one other thing. I don't have to do one other thing. I want to do things, but I don't have to. Hey, they had no dealings with Samaritans. She was right. Jesus answered and said, thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith that he give me to drink, thou wouldest asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Whoa. Now you imagine this girl, woman, lady, whatever makes you women happy. This, whoa, man. I got that. I got to watch it. How I Married an Axe Murderer. I married, what is it? How I Murdered an Axe Murderer. That's the stupidest thing. How I Married an Axe Woman.
So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Thank you, Jason. That was a very definitive call. You know, look. He's there. He said, give me the drink. He says, give me the drink. You would have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. Woof. This woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Good question. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water is going to thirst again. Now that is a remarkable statement. Not really. It's very practical. See this water, honey? Oh, wait, I'm sorry I called you honey. Don't smack me. See this water, woman? Is that better? I'm going to have a drink. You know what? I'm going to be thirsty again sometime. But, big J-Lo butt. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Whoa! But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Holy smokes. You talk about beautiful, brilliant. You talk about sharp. Man, the Lord Jesus Christ was something. And remember, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, this everlasting springing up to everlasting life water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus saith unto her, Go get your husband and come on over here. Woman said, I don't have a husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. This is one of the all-time greats. Now, he had to be walking by the Spirit, by the way. He is receiving revelation right now. I'm not right now. You know, then. There, at the well. He's not at the well now. Seated in the heavenlies, the right hand of God, right? Okay, don't get confused. Where's that well? It's in Helmetta. Look, go call your husband. She's got no husband. I said, I got no husband. Jesus said, you're right. You said, yeah, you don't have a husband. For thou hast had five husbands. I can imagine this lady, woman, girl, I don't know. She must have been a lady after five. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast isn't your husband. That's pretty funny. In that saidst thou truly. Can you imagine this lady? Oh, man. I could feel the blood coming. Woo! Oh, well. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you don't even know what you're worshiping. You worship, but you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation's of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in what? For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. That's another one of the great lessons of life. God is spirit. And they that worship him, God, must worship him in spirit and in truth. Man, oh man, what a lesson. Think of these people who got shared the word of God, like John 3:16, Nicodemus. Here is John 4:24. God is spirit. These tremendously foundational things that are so important to understand. Jesus Christ shared while he was speaking the word to one person. Just one. Just one. Think of your school. Think of your town. Think of where you work. There might be just one person. One. Who would love to have what you have. And the woman saith unto him, verse 25, I know that the Messiah cometh, because that was the prophecy, you know, he's coming, which is called Christ. When he's come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he.
Oh, can you imagine? She didn't know it was Jesus Christ. She didn't know it was the Messiah. And so she's saying, I know he's coming. He goes, yep, here I am. Wow. That must have had some kind of impact, don't you think? Nicodemus, and hear the woman. The works that I do, ye shall do also, and greater works than these shall you do because I go unto my Father. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. John 5. You just go through this book of John, and it's amazing to me the time spent, the effort made by the only begotten Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah, the Rabboni, the teacher. You know, you can go on and on with the list of names. I was thinking about them today. All the different names that were used to describe our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And yet, you see as you read God's word, the simplicity with which he walked and the love with which he walked, depending on who he was with, how he adapted, how he could just focus, and how he could share God's wonderful word. Just fantastic. Yeah, well, good. Nice having you. Verse 2. There's at Jerusalem by the sheep. What? There is at Jerusalem by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, which means mercy, having 5 porches. Big old place, 5 porches, that's a big old place. I've been down south myself. Lived in Georgia for 4 years. Used to have those beautiful homes with these porches. Well, this one's got 5 porches. Can't do that here, there's no room. Just kidding. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk. They were impotent because they all graduated from Harvard. That's pretty. Thank you, Miss DeLay. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. This is something. These porches were designated for people who had serious illnesses. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Wow. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. I know that some of you have recently had colds. You know, it happens sometimes in the wintertime. We just don't believe perfectly maybe. And you got sniffles. You got a little fever. And you lay down, you know. You go and get the automatic, no, the automatic, oh, yeah, antibiotic. You go get the automatic, and it's over. Cold's done. It's fantastic truth. I highly recommend that for a cold. No. An antibiotic. Forget it. You get something, maxicillin or whatever it is. I know doctor stuff. And they give you something, and like 2 or 3 days later, you start feeling really good. You get a lot of rest. You drink a lot of water. You know, in our case, we all sent our kids outside to play or work. They had a choice. They could work or go outside and play. So they were out. Lots of water and out. So that was our remedy. And, you know, a few days later, they started feeling better. This guy was sick for 38 years. I don't understand that. That's got to be something. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in the case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Whoa. What kind of willpower would you have after 38 years? Man, oh man, I don't know. What an incredibly odd question to ask. Jesus Christ was walking by the Spirit. That's what God wanted him to ask, so God asked it. What? I mean, wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man said, "Sir, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me into the pool." He was just waiting for somebody to help him get into the pool so that when it stirred up, he could be whole. "But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me." It's like I got this mind picture of all these people waiting for the pool to move. You know, to be troubled, or however it said it. And these people just waiting. And as soon as they caught any indication that this pool was going to move, they bum-rushed this pool. And I just get this mind picture that this guy got run over, you know, kind of trampled, stampeded. Every time he tried to get up, he couldn't get in because nobody would help him in the water. And Jesus Christ saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." That's a tremendously bold statement. This guy's either going to walk and get up or he's not. And if he's not, it's going to make Jesus Christ look like a fool. And Jesus Christ was not a fool because Jesus Christ walked with God. There are times that we've missed things, that God has told us exactly what to do. And because of fear or bad experiences in the past, we don't do it. I'll give you an incident. Down here in this area, we do a couple times a year, we do days in the Word or whatever like that, where we get in the Word and hear two or three teachings and then break bread together or something, which is awesome. There was this one particular time, several years ago, more than that now, probably 4 or 5 years ago. Well, it's several, I guess. And I was leading a song. And God said, "Do a ministering service." And boy, I'm leading the song, and I said, "Nah." And I didn't do it. Next day, I found out 20 people got sick. And I thought, man, oh man, I don't ever want to do that again. And I apologize to God. And, you know, get back up swinging. Next time, try not to make the same mistake. But Jesus Christ never made a mistake. And the reason is because he walked on God's word perfectly. He walked in perfect harmony with God. And he said, "Rise up. Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. I was in Kalamazoo, Michigan one day, where the state nut house there is in Kalamazoo. And because they couldn't afford to pay, they would let the people from that facility walk the streets all day. So it made it interesting witnessing. And I'm in the bathroom. I'm urinating at the urinal in the men's bathroom. And all of a sudden I hear this banging around in the, you know, the guys have the stalls too. Well, I guess, I don't, forget it. You know, where they go number two. And so there's this moving around and banging around. And it was crazy. So I opened up to see if the guy needed help, and I've never seen anything like this in my life. He was having an epileptic fit and at the same time masturbating. It was interesting. So what do you do? You know, I said, "Get out of here in the name of Jesus Christ." So the guy got out. Fantastic. It was very troubling in my mind, but I did what God wanted me to do. I'm walking down the street. I got to get out of there. You know, I'm walking down the street. 3 blocks later, I see this same guy having an epileptic fit without the other nonsense. And God said, "Pray for him." And I ministered healing to him. And he got instantly healed. And he came to fellowship. And he got in God's word, and I don't know where he is now, but he was in God's word for like 15 years. Now,
did I have a prearranged thought about, and I'm sure you guys all have had this figured out, what do you do when you're in a bathroom when somebody has an epileptic fit and is masturbating? Right? You got it pretty much thought through. No. But it says in the Word, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That's what God's Word says. So you need to be ready. And we are equipped. We have all nine manifestations. We're going to get into that later. But this is the operation of the manifestations here. Get up. Take up thy, walk. And he walked. It's not just Jesus Christ that can do this. It's you. It's me. Oh, gosh, I got a billion stories of miracles and signs and wonders. I had to quit a long time ago if I don't see that. How do you really help people? By being nice to them. Maybe, but really help. Really help. Heart help. Not your ingenious ways and how good you are with people. Ah, poppycock. Bunch of crap. I never mastered the Dale Carnegie course, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Most people really, I'll say no more. Was not too good at it, actually. I took that class, by the way. My, I like that shirt. Some of us who had to sit through that find that humorous. So he got up. He took up his bed and walked. And the same day was the Sabbath. Oh, poor. Que lastima, lo siento mucho. Oh, no. It was horrible. Yeah. Verse 10. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it's the Sabbath day. Now, put yourself in this guy who had an infirmity for 38 years. You think he cared even remotely what day it was that he got healed? Oh, but those Jews did. It's the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. And they said, what man is that said unto you, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed, wist not. I love that word, wist. It means no. I wish it just read no. He that was healed knew not who it was, for Jesus left. A multitude being in that place. There's this guy, he gets healed. He's probably all happy, and he's getting accused because he got healed on the wrong day. So where is this guy? Jesus left. He was just, his work was done. Maybe he went to the well to get a drink of water. I don't know. But afterward, and this is a great, great example. Again, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Afterward. Jesus findeth him in the temple. Finding someone indicates that you're looking. Looking for someone sometimes takes some time. Jesus didn't automatically know where everyone was. It says he findeth him. He findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Our Lord said that. Sin no more unless something else is going to happen. It's going to be worse. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the wrong day. Well, he didn't go to the right school, I guess. But example is always clear. He followed up. He wanted to check up on this man. He wanted to see how he was doing, and he wanted to give him some added information that he was supposed to tell him. So he did. You ever notice that Jesus Christ didn't promote himself? The works that I do, ye shall do also, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. John 8, be good. Imagine this happening tonight.
I love the word. Boy, it's so fun. Jesus, am I in the right place? Yeah. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Wow. First of all, this is a little curious to me. It's early in the morning. He's teaching God's word. There's people there. That's a nice fellowship. They're singing, Yes, It Is Me. I mean, Yes, It Is Jesus. Sorry, just kidding. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the fellowship, there's a commotion. This is quite a commotion. These guys bring in this half-naked chick, naked woman, adult, female, lady, and say, Master, this woman was caught in adultery even in the very act. Well, that must have been some fellowship. Now, Diane, was it your fellowship that you got people shot through the windows? No. What? Shot.
Oh,
jump
through the window. Choked.
A jump to, yeah, that was different. Another time. Jumped through a window during fellowship and started choking her husband. That's great. Fantastic. Great, you know. And God said, you know, this stuff happens occasionally. I taught once and a guy got up and said his name was Jesus Christ. I said, how you doing? You were at that meeting, remember? I'm like, oh, God, I am the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you going to do? You walk is what you're going to do. You walk. Oh, he came on stage. I threw him off. Yeah, that was fun. Here, I never had this one yet. A woman caught in adultery in the very act. Right in the middle of fellowship. And then they say, they quote the word, man, it's fantastic. Moses and the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What do you say?
Huh? Huh?
What do you say? Moses said, stoner. What do you say? This is an interesting situation. This, they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. They didn't care about this woman. I believe they set her up and they were all active participants in the adultery. They didn't care about her. They sat around a bar one night and figured out how they could get Jesus. I don't know if they were around a bar, and I don't know if they did that. But I do know that this happened. And I know that the motive wasn't the stoner or not the stoner. The motive wasn't to help her at all. The whole motive was to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ, to accuse him. But Jesus just stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he didn't hear him. Man, oh man. He never answered this question, as you'll see. What'd he do? He got down on the ground. It started right. Yeah. It started right. What did he say, Jesus? I said, stoner. Hey, so oftentimes we get so shook by our surroundings, we don't take the time to keep it together or to get it together. We allow the... I imagine this shook Jesus up. He was a human being. It's not normal for a woman that was just taking adultery to get thrown in the middle of a teaching. Sometimes you need to just settle down for a moment. This is nowhere in the word it says stoop down on the ground and, you know, doodle or whatever it was that he did. He wrote on the ground. Verse 9, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own... Oh, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. That's all you heard him out. Verse 7. So when they continued asking him, see, while he was writing on the ground, they're saying, what do you say? Moses said, stoner, what do you say? He lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Boy. And then he stooped down again and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. Why? Why were they convicted by their own conscience? Ha! Think about it. Was my time up? Whose phone's ringing? Cut it out. I have no cell phones on in here. If Bruce Springsteen can do that, tell him no cell phones. I know what you're saying. What? Right. I know where you live. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. What a mind picture. Everybody left that fellowship. Everybody was gone. And they figured Jesus was done talking. Here he is, the Lord Jesus Christ, just masterful. And here's this woman. And I have this mind picture of a half-naked woman who just got used so badly just to catch Jesus Christ. Boy. When Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. He said unto her, woman, where are your accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and what? Amen. Amen. He handled it. He didn't condemn her, but he exhorted her not to blow it again. He walked with God. Now, this isn't your classic woman taking an adultery witness. But this is a record of Jesus Christ walking with God, even under this incredible pressure. He never answered their stupid question. Because if he would have, he would have screwed it up. Because the law did say stone her. So he didn't answer. He wasn't off God's word. God told him what to say. As Jesus Christ settled down and got peaceful. See, the greatest cargoes in life come in over quiet seas. Remember Elijah going up the mountain, the fire. God wasn't in the fire. There's an earthquake. God wasn't in the earthquake. Oh, a wind or whatever it was. God wasn't in the wind. And then there was a still what? Boy, you bet. And sometimes we get shook. I believe Jesus Christ was a little shook. And he settled himself down. He did what he needed to do so that he could answer in this situation perfectly so that the woman could get what she needed and that he could get rid of the accusers. Fantastic, fantastic record. Go to Matthew 15. Jesus Christ, as far as I know, he really got angry at religion. People who knew the word, people who would quote him the word, people who would try to bust him with the word like these guys did. That's where Jesus Christ was just not real happy. Verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees. These were the people, again, responsible for the law, the religionists of their time, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Boy. What an incredible concern. We'd all be busted probably tonight. Jesus Christ answered and said unto him, why do you transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? He didn't answer their question either. He asked them a question. Matter of fact, he didn't answer the question in John 8 either. He asked him a question. You don't have to get defensive. Have some fun. Walk with God. El Shaddai. The Almighty and the All-Powerful. He's there. And it's just not for special prophets. Every single believer has the ability to walk just like Jesus Christ and even greater works. So, Yeah. Then Jesus said a real nice thing to him in verse 7. You hypocrites. That's not nice. It's the truth. Jesus Christ couldn't stand the phoniness of religion. These people knew God's word. So what? That ain't going to get you no rewards in heaven. None. Zero. There's no rewards for knowing the Bible. None. None. Yeah, none. Now, do you need to know the Bible? Yeah, I would suppose so. If you're supposed to walk on something, you're not going to walk on a spaghuzzi, right? What's the question now? What? Exactly. So we need to have something to walk on. We need to know the word. But you don't get rewards for knowing it. You get rewards for walking on it with love, applying it. The aim of education is action. Like you guys going to college, it's amazing to me. And it hasn't changed much in high school and grammar school and everything else. 90% of the things that you learn, you'll never apply in your life. You memorize the work that you do for a test, then you take the test and you do very well, for those of you that have a good memory. And then the next day you throw it away. You know, I never understood math. Why they take people so far in math when really all you'll ever need to know is addition, subtraction, multiplication, and fractions a little bit. And yeah, that's it. But they torture you with all this other stuff. And I know we have teachers in here and administrators. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. God's word is given to us so that we could profit, so that we could benefit in our lives. Jesus Christ is calling these guys out. They're quoting him a scripture. They're telling them that they should have eaten, washed their hands before they ate, which they should have. But he called them hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, the people draw near unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far what? Boy, yeah, their heart was far from them. They quoted the word, but there was no heart in it. They didn't care. Samuel, one of the great prophets of all time, he's going to anoint a new king, and he goes to the house of Jesse. And the first guy comes along, I don't remember his name, but it was the oldest son, you know, the first one out of the box. And, you know, Elijah actually said, this is it. And God said to him, this is not it. Because God doesn't look like man looks. It says he looks on the heart, and that's in Samuel somewhere. Hey, God knows your heart. He knows my heart. And he knew their heart. And that's why Jesus Christ said what he said. It says, but in vain they do worship me. Did they worship him? Verse 9. Did they worship him? But how did they worship him? Teaching the doctrines and commandments of who? Ah, forget all that. Jesus was always doing his best to teach. Even when he was ministering, he was doing his best to teach. He didn't do it intentionally so that he could be called the master teacher. He did it because that's what God wanted him to do. In our lives, we also teach. I want us to close in Luke 18. And these are just some records in the gospel where Jesus Christ dealt with stuff. He witnessed. And the reason I read records where there wasn't a bunch of people jumping up and down going to fellowship every night is because Jesus Christ was a living witness. Wherever he went, God went with him. Wherever he went, he decided by the freedom of his will to think about God, to think about his word, to bless other people, to serve other people, to give. You realize when we give with our hearts, we're not thinking about ourselves? Boy, that's a fantastic relief, isn't it? I can't stand thinking about myself. I make myself sick. But when I have the privilege of giving, man, I just love it. Because I'm not thinking about me and what I don't have and what I want and all this stuff. I'm thinking about the people. Like now, I don't care about anything right now but sharing God's word with people that are here to hear it. I don't care about about myself. Not a concern at all. None. Verse 1. He spake a parable unto them to this end. Chapter 18, verse 1. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. Sometimes parables are difficult to understand. Parables really is what kind of figure is a simile? A what?
An extended
simile. Which is nice. It just means it makes one point and one point only. There's only one point in a parable. They say different things, but it's to emphasize one point only. And this one's easy. Men ought always to pray and faint not. Wow. Not to faint. Pretty good. Great. Then he gives an example. There was in the city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him and said, avenge me of mine adversary. I never forget the time I taught this at the Pittengers. I made everyone. Anyway, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man. At least this judge admitted it. He didn't care about God. He didn't care about man. Yet because his widow was driving me nuts, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. Why? You ever had somebody ask you the same thing 5,000 times? In this case, it wasn't even a question. It was. And I just picture a voice, you know. Avenge me of my adversary. 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 Avenge me of my adversary, judge. Judge. Avenge me. I know there's people waiting. Avenge me of my adversary. Avenge me. Avenge me of my adversary. Avenge me. It makes you want to smack me right in the mouth. In fact, I feel like hitting myself. But that wouldn't be godly, would it? Yeah. And the Lord said, as he's explaining this, hear what the unjust saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? God wants us to come to him. He wants us to come to him. And he doesn't want us to faint. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to be delivered. He wants us to be helped. And take it a step further. He wants us to be able to share with others so that they can be helped. People are praying. People have desires right here. Well, let's get it taken care of. I tell you, he'll avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Look at this next one. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. This is religion plus. Religion plus. Trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised everybody else. I have done my studying. Let's read it. This is fantastic. I'm sitting here BSing. I just read. It's a good idea if I just read. Yeah, and he despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a publican, a sinner, somebody really screwed up. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And you know what? That's a fantastic thing. Nothing that he said was wrong. It's good that he tithed. It's good that he fasted. It's good, you know. But his attitude. You know what? Our attitude towards God and his word and his people, that is what's going to determine how we walk in this life. That's how these. That's really how we're going to be. This man had a real high opinion of himself because he did all these things. Goody-goody gumshoes or whatever, you know. Tootsie Rolls. What? And the publican, standing afar off, wouldn't even lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but he smote upon his breast.
indicating great humility. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. And then they bring infants to Jesus. Yeah, you got to love babies. Oh, by the way, Pete and Paige had a baby. Those of you who know, it's Joshua Glenn. They had him last night at last night, 7:45, 9 pounds. Fantastic. Yeah, he's a bruiser. So, but neat. So infants, they brought the infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked him. You know why? They were trying to protect Jesus. Now, oh no, he can't be bothered with infants. And Jesus said unto them, he called, suffer little children to come to me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Good gravy, man. Our walks need to be walks of great simplicity and tenderness and humbleness. We know him who knows it all. We don't know that much. But what we know, we can believe. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the works that I do, ye shall do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. It says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. These aren't words to help get us psyched up. These are words of truth that are in God's word so that we can profit therein. We can put the mind of Christ on, even though we might think our minds are weak, even though we might, whatever our stupid objection to that truth is, we can do what God's word says we can do. We can be what God's word says we can be. We can manifest power in this life like is nobody's business, with tremendous love that could melt the hardest of hearts. And man, that's what we have to offer. And that's a little bit in the Gospels of how Jesus Christ walked, how he dealt with people, and how he witnessed, and how he manifested God's word wherever he went. So, Father, thank you so much for your word, that you have all this wonderful stuff in your word, so that we can learn from and be blessed by. I thank you for each and every one of us, for our healthy bodies and our sound minds. And I thank you that our hearts can be knit together in your love with tremendous peace. Thank you, God, for a wonderful night ahead. In the name of our risen Lord and Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love you. Thank you. Bless you.